Brothers and sisters, it is truly joyful and a blessing that we can spend the final moments of 2025 and the beginning of the new year 2026 worshiping before God. Before a new beginning, even people of the world feel excited, hoping for better days and seeking blessings in various ways. Some make wishes while watching the rising sun. Some pray to their ancestors for good fortune, and others even pray to gods they normally do not believe in. They just pray to any gods, asking for a good new year, blessed new year. But you are truly wise, for you worship before the living God, the Lord of all creation, who governs life and death, blessing and curse, entrusting the entire new year into His hands. Our Father God also desires to bless and answer every one of you who are worshiping now. For us to receive such grace and love from God, let us share the first prayer title for 2026. May this message serve as the key to answers and blessings as you begin the new year. May our church, filled with such believers, always please the Lord and receive His compliment. The first prayer title, the Lord commands, if you become such a church, if our church becomes such a church, we can receive any answer. We can receive any blessings. Our Lord commands us. We can just, He will pour out His blessings and answers. So, I hope that you accept this message as a secret to blessings as well and obey so that throughout the year, you will overflow with blessings. Brothers and sisters, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the Lord gives His exhortations to the seven churches that represent the early church. These messages were not only for the churches, pastors, and believers of that time, but for all churches that believe in the Lord and follow His will. It also applies to churches now, established in the name of the Lord, and believers who believe in His name. To some churches, the Lord gives severe rebukes that even relate to salvation. Like, if you live that way, if you cannot receive salvation, it's a word of rebuke. While to others, He gives both praise and rebukes. Yet, to one church, He gives only words of praise. That church is the Philadelphia church in today's passage. This church is a model for all churches that believe in the Lord, and we too must become a church that receives only praise from Him. Here, the church is a gathering of believers, but more specifically, it refers to each individual member who makes up the church. In other words, when each believer lives a life of faith that receives the Lord's praise, knowing that he or she is a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells, then the church formed by such believers will also receive the Lord's love and praise. When this happens, answers to your prayer requests and blessings will naturally follow, and furthermore, the church's growth, advancement, and planned works will be fulfilled swiftly. In 2026, I pray that you and our church will receive the Lord's praise as stated in the prayer topic and move forward with even greater strength. Brothers and sisters, let us now examine how the Philadelphia church was able to receive only the Lord's praise. Through this message, let us reflect on our own faith and the faith of our church, continue what we are doing well, and quickly correct what is lacking, and turn away from what is wrong. In doing so, we and our church should fully align with the Lord's will. We have to have this message as our standard, and until we meet the Lord, we have to advance and become a church that receives the Lord's praise. And in order to do that, and And we also have to figure out what we have been lacking, what we have been doing well in terms of this message. And areas that we fall short of the Lord's compliment, and areas that we are doing the opposite, areas that we may receive the Lord's rebuke. We have to examine these areas. We have to examine our current state, our current score, so that we can improve and advance, so that through this message we have to look at the current state of our church, and we have to also apply this to our own life of faith. We have to compare and check what current score we are receiving. And the reason the Lord praised the Philadelphia church is that though they had little power, they kept His word and did not deny His name. But why would the Lord say that a church worthy of His praise had little power? There are two meanings. Because the church was worthy of the Lord's praise, the Lord even promised the blessing of New Jerusalem. So you may wonder that why didn't the Lord say that they had great power? But the Lord said that they had little power and you did well. What is the meaning? There are two meanings contained in this expression. As we examine them, I pray that you will come to understand what kind of faith and heart the Lord truly praises. You can also check yourself, apply this message properly to yourselves, and figure out. You can also get the score of your faith. What kind of score would you get? You can realize, first, little power refers to the state of having faith the size of a mustard seed, and one first receives the Lord. A seed is small and seems insignificant, yet it grows into a large tree, and the birds of the air come and nest in its branches, and it bears much fruit. In the same way, the Philadelphia church kept the Lord's word. They had been taught and diligently nurture their faith even when they had little power, namely small faith. Because they didn't deny the Lord's name even when they had small faith, they could overcome the world and triumph. Actually, when one first begins a life of faith and has little power, it's not easy to keep God's word. It's because they lack the strength to overcome the world. Even though we know that they have to do according to the truth, in reality, they often fail to act by the word of truth. For example, after receiving the grace by a sermon which tells them to cast up hot temper, they resolve to live according to the word they've heard. But when something upsets them, they go back to their old ways. This is something that easily happens when you have little power. However, even with little power, if you engrave the word in your heart and hold on to it in fervent prayer during the week, you are well able to overcome with the help of the Holy Spirit. This way, despite having little power, the Philadelphia church prayed earnestly and lived according to the word they'd heard. As a result, their faith grew quickly, and they became a church that received the Lord's praise. Now, Manmin Church members, we have more people who have been walked in faith rather than new believers. So we have to apply this message like you have to remember how you have to check whether you, when you are novice believer, new believer, when you had little power, you may have obeyed, but at some point, you lose your enthusiasm and passion. Let them cool down. Then you cannot receive the Lord's praise. Of course, we have to advance compared to when we were new believer. You Nevertheless, you should have keep running. Just because you are better than when you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, doesn't mean you can receive praise. You have to check whether you have steadily walked in obedience and changed yourself without changing. That way you can check whether you can receive Lord's compliment or not. The second meaning of little power is that although they actually possess great power, they carried out God's will with a humble attitude as if they had only very little power. We can clearly understand this through the example of Jesus. Jesus is originally one with God, and He is the only begotten Son of God who has the same authority and power. His power is immeasurable, and He is able to do all things. Yet, when He came to this earth, He took on the lowly form of a man and lived just like all people. He experienced hunger, cold, physical fatigue, and pain, just as ordinary people do. He fully endured the harsh suffering of the cross and completed His mission as Savior, not as the exalted and great Son of God, but in the form of an ordinary man with seemingly very little power. He did not act beyond justice, saying like, "Because I am the Son of God with infinite authority and power." He always prayed to Father with a humble heart and attitude, always relied on Him, and accomplished all things according to His will. When He was crucified, people said that, "You save yourself first." They pointed fingers at Him. "Are you a Savior? Then you can save yourself first." It makes sense, but because many things happened through Jesus, because He manifests such power, but He was hung on the cross. So, what does that mean? Evil people said that this is my chance, and they mocked Him. If Jesus had even a little of a fleshly attribute, if He would have like, "I am the Son of God. I have to come down from the cross. I can restore my body to the normal." And then Father God's will wouldn't have been accomplished. Even though He was one with God originally, He came, took on the form of a man, and in order to accomplish Father's will, and in order to save the mankind, He walked the way of the Savior, and during His throughout His life, even though evil people mocked Him, criticized Him, He could have just cursed them. He could have just set an example so that there will be no people who curse them. But God's power is not used that way. He only humbled Himself, and sometimes He avoided. Sometimes He endured all the mockery, and that way He accomplished the Father's will. He was like a lamb who was being butchered by a butcher. He sacrificed, He obeyed the Father's will to the point where He poured out all His blood and water and died, completing His mission as Savior. Though He possessed tremendously great power, He carried out everything according to the justice, placing Himself in the position of a man with very, very little power. In the same way, even if there is a person who has a good heart feel, God does not grant him great power right away. According to His justice, He leads him step by step from little power to great power ultimately. As He obeys, He becomes a vessel used honorably. Sometimes He has to go through a refinement. Sometimes He has to harbor those who misunderstand Him. Father God, it's not that Father God always protects him and prevents from all trouble. And when a person has a good heart, he lets them go through a refinement that ordinary people cannot endure. And that way, he lets them learn God's love, and so that he can manifest greater power, and God leads him into greater blessing. This is the how Father God cultivates human beings, and this is the justice. But those who really love God obey. So he becomes, as he obeys, he becomes a vessel used honorably and receives great power. Even though he was not a man of great power, but as he humbled himself in trials and obeyed, his power became greater and greater. When you have little power, you may find it difficult to carry out your duty. Some people say that, I cannot do it. But others, even though they do it, they complain. But there are people who are obedient, whether they can do it or not, even though they find themselves lacking, they try to figure out God's will, they consider it God's calling, and they discipline themselves, and they devote themselves, and they obey. Not just things they can do, but even difficult and tough things. Even things they don't want to do, they just obey whatever God tells them. So God gives them greater power upon power. So he becomes a man of great power. But he is to stay faithful in a humble attitude and not become arrogant like when he had a little power. This is the heart and the image of our Lord. It is such people whom God delights in and praises. The Lord praised the Philadelphia church, saying, what about you? Like you said that I have grown. Mammon Church has 40-year history, and throughout the history, you have been with the church for a long time, and you witnessed the shepherd's ministry, and you gave glory to God, and you were with them. I believe you developed a big faith, but still you have to be humble, try to figure out God's will. You shouldn't be satisfied with what you have, but you have to try to do more for God. And then Father God says, and the Lord says that even if Father God, the Lord is pleased with such a humble attitude and heart, and through such people, our God's kingdom is accomplished. But many people, as they have more experience, as they have, rather than relying on the Holy Spirit, they just try to do things in their own ways. Then they cannot receive the Holy Spirit's work, and they cannot receive the Holy Spirit's compliment, and they cannot bear as much fruit. The Lord praised the Philadelphia church, saying, though you have little power, you have not denied my name. Here, denying the Lord's name does not mean only openly rejecting the Lord or leaving him behind. In a broader sense, it means knowing the Lord's will, yet failing to act according to it. When King David committed a sin, God rebuked him, and he said, you disregarded me. He said it through a prophet. God rebuked him through a prophet. King David loved God, and God was aware of this. But when King David committed a sin, it was disregarding God, ignoring God. The same way, even if we know God's will but don't obey, this is like denying the Lord in a broader sense. Of course, when one truly lacks ability, it cannot be helped, but there are cases where people do not even try. Though they claim to have faith with their lips, when trials come, they waver, doubt, and drift back into the world. They even forget the grace and experiences they once received. When small acts of disobedience, knowing the Lord's will, yet failing to put it into practice, continue to accumulate, people are unable to overcome trials and tribulations. They complain against and blame God and leave the church altogether. What begins with the attitude of, this is just a small thing, eventually leads to complete betrayal of the Lord. During the trial, did you not act way? I mean, because you have kept your faith well, I really appreciate it. But just because you didn't leave the church, just because you didn't waver, but did you really obey the word of God and the God's will? Even though you didn't waver, you failed to bear fruit, or if you complained, if you lived in a way opposite to the Lord's will, and if you have become stagnant, this also cannot receive the Lord's praise. This is you have to, if you have discovered your shortcomings, you have to make sure that just such shortcomings will not be revealed. For us not to waver, you have to make a habit of obeying the Lord. If you are not on the alert, you can fall down at any time. We have seen those cases during the trial. We have to learn a lesson from them. That person is used to have good faith. Well, why did he leave the church? You should draw a spiritual lesson from them, and you should not act that way. If you stay on, like if you keep God's word today, but don't do that tomorrow, if you pray fervently, but stop praying fervently, if you doze off during prayer, if you have idle thoughts in prayer, as you befriend the world, as you take back in the worldly things you've cast off, but even as you come to church, you don't receive the fullness of the Spirit. As time goes by, you just fall down easily. We have seen many cases throughout the history of our church. You may say, I will never deny the Lord, but you have to make sure to live by the Lord's word and stay on alert. However, the Philadelphia church, which began with little faith, acted in ways worthy of the Lord's praise even as their faith grew. In every situation, they lived by the word, and even when trials and hardships came, they did not betray God but kept their faith to the end, standing on the rock of faith. As we look back on the years our church has walked, we too have followed the same path. We did not compromise with the world, but endured all persecution and trials in order to follow God's will alone. Through this process, the faith of our members and workers, even though we went through, the church has endured the envy and jealousy and persecution because we talked about the spiritual things, spiritual visions, but we cannot stop manifesting power. And that doesn't mean we will have happy Christian life. That way we cannot enter New Jerusalem. That's why our shepherd didn't walk the comfortable path, but he chose a difficult path, even though he knew that he would face misunderstanding and persecution when talking about spiritual things and visions, but he wanted our members to stay awake. That's why he taught about the spiritual things and the realm. That's why he led this church in God-centered way. He didn't try to please the man's ways. He Through this process, the faith of our members and workers have grown stronger and more solid. Yet, for believers to keep the Lord's word and not deny His name, even with little power, above all, we must not cease to pray. This is because we cannot cast off untruth or overcome darkness by human strength or ability. Because we must rely on the grace and power that God gives from above, we need to draw down that power through prayer. The second prayer title is a Spirit-Filled Life of Faith. And in that message, I will emphasize prayer. And the third topics and the fourth, I also explain in the third prayer topic how we should pray for our sanctuary. And in other prayer topics as well, prayer is emphasized in the new year. I don't know what kind of prayer times you have, but you should have, prayer should be your, prayer should, you have to focus on prayer. You have, even if you have to also show these action regarding prayer. You have to also pray with the fullness of the Spirit. And then your life will be changed, your faith will be changed, and your level of hope for heaven changed, and your dwelling place in heaven will change. So, in 2026, most of all, we have to draw down the power of prayer. We should not cease to pray. And you have to become a church that the Lord commands. To that end, we have to stay awake in prayer. We must also know exactly what the Lord's will is. We have to know what sin, darkness, and flesh are and cast them off quickly. We also have to clearly understand goodness, righteousness, and light to practice them. For this reason, those who truly desire to know the Lord's will are grateful and joyful even when they are advised and rebuked. Through this, they come to know the Lord's will more clearly and live accordingly. Brothers and sisters, the Lord knows all that you have done, how you have striven, labored, and made every effort to keep His word and not deny His name, even with little power. And because God delights in such deeds, He reveals the evidence of His love in many ways at the proper time. The following verse 9 contains this very meaning. The Philadelphia church, even with little power, they didn't deny the Lord's name, and the Lord complimented them. And because, behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. The synagogue of Satan refers to a group of two or more people who speak against the truth and cause disturbance within the church. Those people who trouble the church, a group of people, those who are so-called Jews, are people who claim to believe in God and call themselves His children, yet belong to the synagogue of Satan. They do not practice the truth, befriend the world, and hinder the kingdom of God. Originally, Jews are God's chosen people and spiritually represent the children of God. But so-called Jews are those who consider themselves God's children, while God Himself does not acknowledge them. With their lips, they claim to be God's children, yet they do not live in the truth. They judge and condemn others, causing disputes and divisions within the church and becoming a cause of stumbling. When something does not fit their own thoughts and frameworks, they may even condemn places where God's glory is revealed through signs and wonders, calling them wrong or heretical. They claim to believe, yet test God's church and hinder His kingdom. This is what so-called Jews are like. Liars also refer to such people. Though they call themselves Jews, they do not live according to God's word, and they are liars. The Lord declares that He will make some of them to come and bow down at your feet. In other words, even those who call themselves Jews and are liars will recognize their wrongs before God's power, repent, and turn back. Through this, God further confirms that He loves the church and His servant. The Philadelphia church also suffered persecution and hardship by the hands of so-called Jews. Yet God causes those who had tested them to come forward and repent, using this as evidence that He loves the Philadelphia church. However, as the verse says, not everyone repents and turns back. Because their sins fall into the category of blaspheming and speaking against and opposing the Holy Spirit, it is not easy for them to repent and receive forgiveness. Still, among them are some who did not fully know the truth and belong to the so-called Jews. Upon hearing and seeing the word of truth and the works of God's power, they have an awakening through the small measure of goodness in their hearts, repent and turn back. But our members, you have to examine yourselves at this point. These people, this is not just about, some people who used to be with the church, but they stumbled and left the church, and also they talk badly about the church and complain about the church, and they say things like, this is wrong about the church, and they left. But as we, whether we are right or wrong, as you live your life, you are, it's not to judge others, but we have to think about that. When some people evaluate us, those people who used to be with us, we have to also think about whether their evaluations are wrong. I also check their evaluations, their words. I also thought about that. And also try to check whether their evaluations are right or wrong. During the trials, I looked back on them and meditate on them. But the truth is the standard of decide whether things are right or wrong. And also God and the Lord show the evidence of His loving us. And then we are right. And most of all, I tell you that at this point, we have to think about after the trials are over, when we are peaceful, and let's think about this. These people who have left the church, some of your friends, some of your people around you, we don't know what they are living, but check whether they are happily living a Christian life. Check whether they are praying fervently. Check whether they are hoping for New Jerusalem, the most beautiful place in heaven. Check whether they are casting off sins and running. You are hoping for good heaven. You are stay awake and cast off sins and evil and faithful for God. This is the evidence of loving God. You have those evidences, but those people who left the church, are they living so? Compare. Then you can draw a conclusion that you are, whether you're doing good or not. You have to check whether how you've been doing, and then you'll compare. They, even though they claim to be right and go their own way, but what kind of life of faith they're living? Are they loving God? Are they trying to advance better dwelling places? Think about this. Then you can draw a conclusion that you are going the right path. This is, you can conclude that you can check with the words of truth whether and decide and confirm whether you are going on the right path rather than being swayed by others' words. You have to be able to present the evidence. Oh, like you are living God by the God's word, and you have the evidence God's loving you, and you are aiming for the good places in heaven. Heaven is not all the same place. The robber, criminal, crucified next to Jesus and Apostle Paul, how could they be placed in the same place in heaven? There are different places in heaven, and then you are aiming for the best place in heaven, and to that end you are trying to resemble the Lord and casting off sins and evil. Are you wrong? You can ask them, am I wrong? I am staying awake in prayer and following the word. I am crying out to God according to the word. I am living by the word. Am I wrong? You can ask them, and then they will be speechless. And also, you have those answers and blessings and healing and overflowing hope for heaven. Please tell me where I'm wrong. Then they will be left speechless. You can also check yourself that way. And the standard should be the word of God and the evidence of God loving you. You are leading a good Christian life, but are you without evidence? Then you have a problem. So I hope you only live according to God's will, so that in the new year you will be overflowing with the blessings in the new year, even through the and Father God show the evidence of His love for Philadelphia Church. What about us? Sometimes Father God, through the Sometimes Father God allows trials and difficulties, but I mean the in the end, however, it becomes a blessing. Trials and its evidence surely follows. A typical example is a work of power, like wonders, signs, and extraordinary works. By letting the church manifest astounding works of power that no human could ever accomplish, God makes it undeniable that this is surely evidence that He is with them. Even though people deny it, we have the evidence, like the works that our Lord did. If they are still manifested, this is right. We are guaranteed. Even though people say that this is wrong, it is not wrong. Even in Jesus' time, even while Jesus manifested things that no human can do, but people condemn them to be wrong, so we should not judge whether something is right or wrong by man's words, but we have to see through the evidences or works that Father God shows. Throughout the scripture, those who were loved by God always had evidence that God was with them. You too must have this kind of relationship with our Father God. As we enter the new year 2026, I pray that evidence of God's love will appear daily in your lives. Also, in this church, we should and manifest God's amazing works, and through this, people will come, and people will come and repent. So, we will be, our hearts will be comforted about our keeping the faith. But those things will happen in earnest as we have the new accomplished new sanctuary and a. Nowadays, we have to strengthen ourselves, and we have to develop a big cart to hover everyone. Even though someone did evil, we have learned to forgive them and love them, so we have to practice it. Sometimes during the trial, some people spoke evil against you, some people troubled you, or left the church. But after we have a new sanctuary, when they come, how should we treat them? We have to act like a father of a prodigal son. We shouldn't be the act like the older brother of the dead father. But even though we know that in our head, that's why we have to prepare ourselves so that we have to make ourselves perfect in a way that God pleases. So when we have the new sanctuary, Father God will show many evidences of His love for us. Verse 10 continues with words of praise, because you have kept the word of my perseverance. The Lord praises them for keeping His word of perseverance. Earlier, He praised them for keeping His word, but here, He calls it the word of perseverance. Why does He use this expression? To keep God's word, much perseverance is often required. This is especially true when one has little power, that is, when faith is still weak. At such times, the tendency to follow untruth is stronger within the heart. So, to overcome it and pursue the truth, one must pray, fast, and diligently persevere. However, as the heart of truth gradually grows and becomes stronger than the heart of untruth, following the truth becomes easier. Rather than forcing himself to endure and suppress the desires of the flesh as before, he now has a stronger desire to pursue the truth. So he naturally demonstrates the deeds of the truth. Yet, even when the heart of truth becomes greater than the heart of untruth, we must not become careless and say, "Now it is enough," until all fleshly attributes, namely forms of evil, are completely cast off. We must always guard ourselves with perseverance. If even small forms of evil remain in the heart, they can surface at any time when the right circumstances arise. However, even if there are still forms of evil that have not yet been cast off, when one discovers them, earnestly strives to remove them, God acknowledges this as keeping the word of perseverance. As we persevere and do our utmost to live according to God's word within our measure of faith, God recognizes this as an act of faith. Therefore, God protects such children and also keeps them from the hour of testing. Keeps them from the hour of testing. This is also God's blessing and protection. But to whom this is granted? Those who keep His word of perseverance. Verse 10 says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Brothers and sisters, God always protects His children, but there's always a condition attached. Many people mistakenly think that simply attending church means God will protect me no matter what. Then, when they encounter an accident or disaster, they complain, "Why has this happened to me even though I'm attending church and believing in God?" This happens because they do not clearly understand the truth. God protects His children when they persevere to live by His word and keep their faith. Of course, to be fully protected, one must live fully in the light, that is, in the word of truth. Yet, when a person does their best within their measure of faith, persevering and striving to live by God's word, God protects them according to that faith. He also drives away tests, provides a way of escape, and works all things together for good. Then, what does it mean to be kept from the hour of testing? God, who surely repays his who surely repays each person according to his deeds, protects his children from the forces of darkness as much as they abide in his word and walk in the light. For example, if only you keep the Lord's Day holy and give the tithe, he protects you in the basic areas. By basic areas, it means that depending on one's measure of faith, simply keeping the Lord's Day holy and giving the tithe does not always guarantee protection in every area. You may say, I kept the Lord's Day holy and gave the tithe, but why such trouble came? Some of you may think that way. According to your measure of faith, God requires different things. According to your measure of faith, He wants you to pray, He wants you to be more faithful, He wants you to care for the souls. And if you become stagnant, if you through trials, He lets you realize your shortcomings and develop, advance. That's why sometimes you cannot receive protection. Even so, we have seen many times that when the Lord's Day is kept and the tithe is given, God prevents accidents, or even if an accident occurs by mistake, He protects the body from harm. He also protects you financially. Then, how much more will God protect those who keep the word of perseverance and live in the truth? Surely, He will guard and protect them in every area. For this reason, many believers in our church who strive to live according to God's word often go through an entire year without even taking medicine or visiting a hospital. Senior Deaconess An Haehwa, she shared her testimony. Hearing her testimony, I was happy again. I know, you know, that even though she's old, she's so energetic. Even as a senior deaconess, she's like a little lady. She's always overflows with testimonies. But before she came to church, she was so weak and frail. And even in winter, he couldn't turn on the electric fan. So weak, her body. That means her body was so weak. And even her parents said that he was afraid that she would die young. And after she got married, but she was still weak and frail. She couldn't even turn on the electric fan in the summer. And her husband as you look at her, it's something unimaginable. By God's grace, after meeting this church, she received God's protection. She is enjoying such good health, and she's always overflowing with wonderful testimonies. Not only that, she also, mommy members who keep the word of perseverance will also be protected, has been protected during the year. And I pray that throughout the year 2026, you will live healthy and peaceful lives, free from accidents, danger, and diseases within God's protecting love. However, if someone is not being protected and is suffering through tests and hardships, he must examine whether he's walking rightly before God. So, the hour of testing refers to the time of various tests brought by the enemy devil and Satan upon those who do not live in the truth or who have betrayed the Lord and left. However, the more specific and direct meaning of the hour of testing is a 7-year great tribulation that will take place on the earth. As said in verse 10, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Therefore, believers living in the end time must be all the more watchful and on alert so as not to encounter this hour of testing. If a believer living in the end time just habitually attends church, does not live out of word, and compromises with the world, they will not be caught up when the Lord comes, but will be left on the earth to face the 7-year great tribulation. However, those who keep the word of perseverance will not only be spared from this hour of testing, but will also enter the 7-year wedding banquet in the air with the Lord, the bridegroom whom they have long awaited. Which outcome one chooses depends on each individual, and each person must bear responsibility for the outcome of that choice eternally. The message of the blessing given to the Philadelphia the shepherd emphasized many times over there, we be awake. He also talked about the 7-year great tribulation and the horrors of hell. And have you forgotten such message? Have you forgotten such message? Even though we don't know when he comes, but even if he comes tomorrow, even if he comes tonight, we shouldn't be ashamed. We have to be prepared. We have to cast off sins and evil and keep marching vigorously. I mean, we have to. Did you live that way in 2025? Then otherwise, we have to repent. And in the new year, we have to welcome the, we have to be equipped, qualified as the Lord's bride in the new year. Heaven and hell are real. We have seen and heard many evidences. Man cannot do that. Never. They are not even coincidences. How could such diseases are healed? Even though they were impossible by medicine or doctors, people were healed of aching backs. Even those people who could not receive surgery, they were supposed to suffer. They were supposed to, even injection, even medication, they only work temporarily. And after some time, pain comes back. They have to live, we're supposed to live in that pain. But as they broke down the wall of sin and received prayer, such serious diseases were healed. Even in this year alone, we have seen many of such cases. This is evidence of the living God. And this God has created heaven and hell. And those who obey according to His will be led into the everlasting, beautiful heaven. And other people will fall into hell, suffer eternally in everlasting hell. When we live by the word, we will receive salvation and avoid living behind. I mean, even those believers who don't, even though they believe, who are living like a chaff, they will face the 7-year great tribulation, and they will face indescribable suffering and pain. Even though they regret, even though they try to receive salvation, they cannot overcome that pain, suffering. They cannot not deny the Lord at that time. It will never be easy. This is the opportunity. This is the chance, hour of grace. Those days will come, even though we will anyone who dies will face the end. Even though, obviously, what kind of path are you taking? Think deeply about this. And in the new year, 2026, and we have to head toward the most beautiful place in heaven, which is mentioned in the message of the Philadelphia Church. The message of blessing given to Philadelphia Church will be shared next time. Let me conclude a message, brothers and sisters. In the latter part of verse 7, the Lord says, "He who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens." This means that when our Lord opens the door, no one can close it. And And when he closes it, no one can open it. The door of salvation is open only in the name of Jesus Christ. And once this door is open, no one can shut it, not even Satan, the enemy. Before praising the Philadelphia church, the Lord proclaimed a blessing over them. In the first part of verse 8, he says, "Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut." This means that the Lord has opened the door of salvation, the door of answers, the door of blessing before the believers of the Philadelphia church, and then no one could block it. At the same time, this word guarantees his tremendous authority and power. Not just his power and authority, also the Philadelphia church has such power. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said to his disciple Peter, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What was given to Peter was the power to bless and curse. If Peter bless something or someone, God hears them and guarantees his word. If Peter curses someone or something, God hears them and curses that or that person. Such power, authority to curse or bless was granted to Peter. The words, "I have put before you an open door which no one can shut," contain this amazing authority, the authority by which what is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Again, once you hear such blessing, word of blessing from the Lord, if the Lord says that to you, whatever we ask, God will give you as answers. God will So, whatever we ask will be answered. This is a word of blessing. Whatever we ask, whatever we pray, will be guaranteed. Such authority will come as blessing. However, this promise was not given to Peter alone. It also applies to God's people and churches whom he guarantees. The people and churches whom God himself is leading and has established are all within his providence. Therefore, the door the Lord has opened can never be shut under any circumstance. Brothers and sisters, what kind of doors have been opened before our church, before us? The door of power is open before us. Throughout the year 2025 as well, God showed the evidence of Him being with us. With the door of power open, He manifested marvelous healing works, wonders, and signs. The door of power has been open, right? And you have experienced them? Yes, we did. We have. How great this love of God is. The door of answers is also open. As we prayed in faith and received prayer, various problems were resolved and things that seemed impossible became possible. How thankful we are that the Lord has opened wide the door of salvation, the door of answers, door of power, and the door of blessing. How thankful we should be in the year 2026 as well. May you receive and enjoy abundant grace and blessings through these open doors of blessing. And in 2026, I hope that more greater power will be manifested and we can only give glory to Him throughout the year. I pray that you will glorify God whether you eat or drink or in whatever you do, so that you can receive only love and praise from the Lord.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.